The science stories today offer some genuinely mind-expanding material. Let's start with interstellar comet 3I, or ATLAS. A new study finds this object is approximately twice the age of our solar system, meaning it formed roughly 9 billion years ago when the universe was about 4.7 billion years old. Our solar system is about 4.6 billion years old. So 3I, or ATLAS, has been traveling through interstellar space for longer than the Earth has existed. It is visiting us from the deep history of our galaxy, and its composition tells us about stellar chemistry from an era we can only otherwise study through spectroscopy of distant stars.
The China Tianwen-2 mission, reaching its target asteroid after a journey of over a billion kilometers, is a different kind of milestone. This is China's second interplanetary mission. Tianwen-1 successfully deployed the Zhurong rover on Mars in 2021. Tianwen-2's mission is to study a near-Earth asteroid and then continue to a main-belt comet, a dual-target mission profile that's technically demanding. Reaching the asteroid on schedule is a significant validation of China's deep space navigation capabilities. The science return will tell us about the building blocks of the solar system, but the engineering achievement is the story right now.
The Nature Communications study on human brain growth is one of those findings that sounds counterintuitive until you sit with it. Researchers analyzed skull measurements across the fossil record and concluded that the expansion of the human brain case over the past 2 million years shows statistical signatures more consistent with random genetic drift and evolutionary stasis than with directional natural selection. In other words, our large brains may not have evolved because intelligence was continuously selected for. There may have been long stretches where brain size drifted upward by chance, without a clear adaptive advantage being tested at each step. This challenges the bigger brains were constantly selected because smarter humans survived better narrative.
The CAR-T therapy story out of Shanghai is genuinely significant for cancer medicine. A Shanghai cancer center began treating its first non-Chinese patient with Satricel, the world's first CAR-T therapy to receive regulatory approval for solid tumors, as opposed to blood cancers, where CAR-T has been used for about a decade. Solid tumor CAR-T has been one of oncology's most difficult engineering challenges because solid tumors create a hostile microenvironment that kills the modified T cells before they can do their work. If Satricel's effectiveness generalizes to non-Chinese patient populations, the implications for cancers like pancreatic, lung, and colorectal are profound.
On the cultural front, the AI actress Tilly Norwood is set to lead what's being billed as the first feature film with an AI-generated lead performance. This is not an AI-written screenplay or AI-generated special effects. This is a photorealistic AI character in the protagonist role of a narrative feature film. The Screen Actors Guild has been in ongoing disputes with major studios about AI likeness rights for 2 years. And this production will test both the legal environment and audience acceptance simultaneously. Whether audiences emotionally connect with a lead character they consciously know is Ervin this. AI generated is an open question that will have significant answers after this film.
Let me briefly note two legal and cultural stories. The Victory Chimes, the 126-year-old National Historic Landmark and the last surviving Chesapeake Ram schooner, sank in Brooklyn Harbor during America's 250th anniversary celebrations. A 126-year-old wooden vessel sinking is not necessarily a surprise, but the timing is painful symbolism. The WNBA officiating crisis is deepening. With coaches and GMs going public with frustrations, the league is having a breakout cultural moment in terms of viewership and attention, and the officiating inconsistency is threatening to become the dominant storyline if it isn't addressed before the playoff push.
Now, the what if we're wrong portion of today's broadcast. The consensus claim I want to examine is the BlackRock CEO's assertion that electricity, not chips, is AI's primary bottleneck. This has become close to received wisdom in infrastructure circles. Data center construction is surging, chip supply is loosening relative to 2022 to 2023 levels, and energy permitting and grid capacity are now the binding constraints. The argument is compelling, but let's stress test it.
The strongest counterargument would go something like this. The electricity bottleneck is real but temporary in a way that chip manufacturing constraints are not. Energy infrastructure has faster permitting and construction pathways than frontier chip fabrication facilities, when political will exists. The US and allied governments are actively streamlining grid connections for AI data centers. New nuclear projects, including several small modular reactor deployments, are on faster timelines than any new frontier fab. Meanwhile, the chip challenge isn't just supply volume, it's architectural. TSMC's most advanced node capacity and advanced packaging are bottlenecks that can't be resolved purely through capital spending. The foundry ecosystem requires decades to replicate.
So the question is, what would we need to observe to know which constraint actually binds? If we're wrong about electricity being the primary bottleneck, we'd expect to see AI capability development slow, specifically in contexts where power is abundant, which would suggest chip architecture or software efficiency constraints are binding instead. We'd also expect to see energy-rich regions like the Middle East or Southeast Asia fail to become major A. I compute centers despite securing power access because they'd still face chip supply issues. Watch the Gulf States' AI infrastructure build-out over the next 18 months. They're attempting to procure both power and compute simultaneously, with sovereign wealth funds committing to both tracks. If they succeed in getting chips but stall on power, the consensus is right. If they get power flowing quickly but can't get leading-edge chips, the chip constraint story deserves more attention than it's currently getting.